Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Something we haven't said in a while. It's a wet Wednesday here in the Auburn area, at least most of it. When I left my house a little while ago, it was dry south of the interstate. But, boy, man, once I hit 85 and crossed 85, some serious rain, which we've been needing, and we're probably going to get a good bit more of. But as regards our show, this could have an impact north of us in Hoover, where the SEC baseball tournament is going on.
The rain is right on schedule for SEC baseball week in Alabama,
always,
right?
Seems like, yeah. Yes.
And among the things that can complicate, and I've heard some folks, especially with the new additions to the league over the last couple of years, I've heard some folks that are maybe surprised by the Hoover's relative remoteness, right? Or at least this ballpark. You know, it's for a large scale event. So there's been some griping about, like, I've seen some stuff on social media.
Maybe there aren't airports right there at Hoover.
And then on top of it, like, well, I guess there's access roads too, and things like that.
I mean, it's not far from the interstate.
It's not that. You're right.
Maybe for 16 teams and their fans, it's not the handiest, except for Alabama.
And then to complicate things with rain, right? To add to the mix that you could have some delays, you could have some games maybe not starting on schedule. It's already ambitious, right? The schedule is already trying to get several games in at once, you know, several games in a day, and hoping. And it's baseball, so you don't know how long these games are going to take.
That's right. There's no time limit on games. Last night was a little late. I'll say this. Thus far, right now, today they're on schedule. Two ball games have been played. The next game up will be the Tennessee-Arkansas game, and that one should start just about on time at 4:30. So they're on schedule for today. Auburn scheduled to play at 8:00 against LSU. LSU stayed alive last night. It was a big day yesterday for the teams on the outside looking in. Only South Carolina of the teams that don't look like shoe-ins to be in the field of 64. South Carolina was the only team that didn't win. You had Missouri, Vandy, and LSU win. Now, today, you've had two of those three already go down. Today, the first day of byes, teams 5 through 8 playing today. You had 9 through 16 played yesterday to come up with four winners to play the 5 through 8 teams. And then the winners today will play the 1 through 4 seeds tomorrow if everything continues on schedule. But earlier today, Missouri, after that exciting 10-8 win yesterday, Mississippi State handled them with ease today, the 8 seed, eliminating Missouri. So their season is done at 24-31. They went 6-24 in the regular season in conference play, so their season is done. Mississippi State moves on, as do the Florida Gators, who had a bye yesterday. Vandy and Florida played today, and that ball game was tied at 3 going to the bottom of the 5th, but Florida scored 2 in the 5th to take the lead, added 2 more in the 7th, 1 in the 8th, and they win it 8-3. So the Gators eliminate Vandy. So thus far today, the higher seeds have advanced, and now you've got Tennessee and Arkansas. Arkansas, the higher seed, coming up in the ballgame in about 25 minutes. Then Auburn and LSU. LSU, another team, the defending national champs, are the last team that can try to get into the NCAA field of 64 who don't look like they're already in them. They're going to have to win the conference tournament to do so.
And we've talked a couple, going in, there were a couple of unusual teams that were in that position. South Carolina, Vanderbilt,
LSU. This ended Vandy's streak of 19 consecutive postseason appearances,
which was
the longest in the nation.
And a team that folks thought, you know, going into the season was, you know, we were just talking before the show started about some of the, and they feel like fairly distant. I mean, LSU was one of the top teams in the SEC in the preseason this year. The thought that, I mean, on top of the fact they were the reigning national champion, but this was a year where you had a couple of relative surprises in the conference, underachievers, and I think in the case of Georgia especially, A&M to a degree, but Georgia especially, a team that was not picked as one of the contenders in the SEC, still a preseason like top 15 national team in several polls, but not one of the top teams in the SEC.
When you're picked ninth and you win the league going away, I don't see any, you know, any qualms, any problems with their guy being the coach of the year.
Oh yeah, yeah. Didn't even mention the thought that I think it's fairly cut and dry this year. With no disrespect to Butch, who's had a great season. I think Schlossnagel at Texas would be another guy people would talk about. Again, these were, and I don't know how much you consider, like, maybe it's an oversimplification to say, well, when there's a team that vastly overperformed what the conference thought was going to happen in the preseason, that coach is a clear choice
should,
for coach.
Should be at least one of the strongest candidates but for I think, coach of the year.
But usually that's the case, right? When there's a team that was
well, especially if they win it. I mean, Georgia wasn't picked last and finished eighth, which would have been a nice, you know, jump over their prediction. They were picked ninth and finished first, and not just finished first, but they won. You know, they wrapped up the regular season before the final weekend.
But we've seen in football and men's basketball too. You can be picked near the bottom in those sports and finish near the top, not necessarily at the top, but like you can be a second or third place coach and still win coach of the year.
Sure,
especially if it's part of a remarkable like turnaround or a remarkable season.
Lee. I mean, you know,
absolutely. So I think it's and you know, the champion's a fine choice most
sure.
times. But when you have a case like this one with Georgia, yeah, I got no problem. I won't be all that shocked if Wes Johnson is talked about for national coach of the year type of stuff with the job he did this year with what Georgia was supposed to be versus what they actually did in this SEC. And that doesn't necessarily like that's not I'm not secure in how Georgia's going to perform in the postseason, right? Like
you don't know. I mean, they played such a high percentage of their games at home this year,
which they will do in the regional, super regional.
So that could get them to Omaha,
but they'll face some tough teams along the way, and that's, you know, I wonder if there's the kind of if there's a team that can throw sand in the gears of a Georgia type team. State is one of the teams in the SEC I'm really skeptical of in regional play, just because the pitching staff is so front loaded, right? It's like once you get past that ace. Now I know they have some guys who have come back, and I think they feel pretty good about their bullpen, but of the SEC teams that are likely going to host in regional play, State is one that I maybe have reservations about as a.
Yeah, I don't know who went for them today. They've got Georgia tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ooh-hoo. So I don't know if Olynkus went today or if they saved him.
They saved him for Georgia tomorrow.
Right.
That'd be
Yeah. So I can check that.
And they basically they have to win when he pitches right in the postseason because they put themselves inside. Like he's under a lot of pressure to be, and that's something. You know, we've talked a lot about the depth of Auburn's pitching staff. Like if Auburn didn't have that, there'd be a lot more pressure on any one guy.
Right.
Oh, you have to win this one. Now, we've had situations where it felt like really big moments. Alvarez has delivered a couple of times this year when it's like, you know, that first game didn't go as planned. You need to reverse
So has Alex Petrovic. How many times has he – of course, he seems like he's gotten a lot of runs when he's gone out there. And part of that is because most teams don't have a number three like an Alex Petrovic. But, I mean, he's gone out and pitched so well in rubber games. I mean, because when Auburn won those six straight series, they weren't sweeping. They were winning two out of three, and they had to win the rubber game in a few of them, and Alex came through. So Auburn's got pitchers that have pitched under extreme pressure, and we'll see how Jake Marciano goes tonight against LSU. Again, scheduled to be an 8:00 start. First game, it looks like Tennessee-Arkansas is going to get started at 4:30. So if that one doesn't go extra innings or have weather delays, Maybe Auburn and LSU can get started on time at 8. Regardless, airtime's going to be 7:45 over on Wings 94.3. Now, it's the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Our Wednesday guests are in Birmingham. Jason Caldwell with Auburn Undercover. He and our buddy Brian Matthews rode up. They left a couple of hours ago, checked with Jason just a few minutes ago, and he will join us following our first break here of the show. And then in hour number two, Adam Cole of the Montgomery Advertiser, also covering Auburn baseball there at the SEC tournament. He's going to join us at about the same time in hour number two. At around 5:15, we'll check in with Adam. So we'll have our regular guys here on with us. Love for you to join in, though, as well. There was one thing. I didn't see it. It happened while I was on the way in, and I was listening to Jacob and Christian. And something I had not thought of, Dan, happened today. Of course, the SEC is using ABS. They are testing ABS for college baseball. There was a situation today that nobody seemed to know exactly how to handle.
With a steal?
Yeah.
Yeah, with a stolen base, too?
Well, yeah, runner breaking on a 3-1 count, and it's called ball four. So what did the runner do? He basically stopped and walked to second base because it was a walk. And then the catcher challenged. The catcher challenged, and it was ruled a strike. Yeah. And then it's like, well, what do you do about the guy at second base?
I believe in Major League Baseball, that runner returns to the original bag.
Well,
right?
Today in the SEC,
is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what they do in Major League Baseball.
I'll check on that.
But what they did today in the SEC tournament was they rule that, well, since he was moving when the pitch was thrown, even though ball four should have made it a dead ball, they left him at second base. That could have been big. I mean, just imagine. I mean, you're in scoring position right then for a play that is dead. So what that would mean?
I might have that wrong. That might be what they do.
Yeah. So what you may need to do now is if a runner goes, go ahead and make the throw. Go ahead and go through with the throw just in case the ball is overruled to a strike.
Yeah, I'm checking on the frequently asked questions there on stolen bases. Let me see what I can find.
But that is interesting. I had not thought of that. And obviously it's the first time it's come up in college. Didn't affect the ball game earlier today, as Florida was able to beat Vandy by the score of 8-3. So Mississippi State and Florida have won. Arkansas and Auburn are the higher seeds for the final two games, but should be pretty interesting games. Arkansas-Tennessee should be a heck of a ball game coming up.
So it would seem that umpires have the discretion, and you can...
I would guess it might be depending on where the base runner is.
Umpires can decide if the blown ball or strike call confused or impacted the defensive or offensive players, in which case, if the catcher's throw to second was... Okay, actually, how about this? If the runner is stealing on ball four and the call is overturned to a strike, they may be forced to return to the previous base if the umpire judges the walk call changed the behavior of the defensive players.
Now, that would be the case here because the catcher apparently grabbed it, pumped, and when it was called ball four, didn't throw.
I believe this is the MLB
so
system.
So it's ump's discretion.
Umpire discretion, and you can... And,
that makes sense.
Yeah, and overwhelmingly, I think that it's if it's not a... like it's a ball four or a strike three.
You know what I'd do then? I would teach my catchers, pump, don't throw.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because he'll have to go back to first if that's the case.
Yeah, and it needs to be initiated so quickly that I think that's also in consideration here. But I think that in situations where the play may have played out differently, if they had gotten the pitch correct,
that's
a situation where they may make a runner return to the base.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, that is one of the things about baseball. Of course, the rules do change some, but there's so many times when, man, we've never seen that before, and baseball's only been played for, 150-plus years.
Well, when you sprinkle in a brand-new rule,
right?
Like, you don't necessarily consider
all the consequences.
Yeah, all the different things that could be impacted.
Let's go ahead and get to the phone since we're going to check in with Jason when we come back. So we'll jump blindly to the phone lines. Hey, who've we got here on the drive?
Hey, this is Clay from Montgomery. How y'all doing this evening, guys?
Good, Clay.
Hey, bud.
I'm pretty sure, and I could be mistaken, in the LSU game last night, the exact same thing happened.
Wow.
But it was like 11:48, so I wasn't completely conscious. I was, you know, going in and out of sleep. I am 50-something years old, and 9 o'clock is my bedtime. But I do believe in the LSU game last night, there was a challenge. The guy stole a base. The throw wasn't made, and they did make him go back to first base because it was deemed to be a strike.
Yeah, well, that's the same situation we were talking about, but I believe it was ruled the other way for some reason.
Well, and see, it could be that it's supposed to be, if it's deemed to be a ball, then...
Well, if it's deemed to be a ball, it was ball four. Yeah.
You know, because that would advance the runner anyhow, I guess, unless... Now, here you go. I know you're a stickler for rules, and you love baseball, and you're great.
Oh, yeah.
What if you're on second stealing third... and is deemed to be a ball, and you don't throw down?
Well, then that's a steal.
It's not a runner on first.
Yeah, that's a steal, and the catcher either was caught flat-footed or just didn't want to make the throw because it doesn't become a dead ball for that runner. It becomes dead when there is a force that would advance you, that would make you go to the next base.
Well, and that's what, I simply called to say all that to say this. You want to change the rules. You don't really know what you're exactly asking for because you are really, really putting a lot of pressure on a lot of different places as to where you want to move this person back, that person back, and all.
So I'm
pretty sure if you look back in that LSU game last night, actually I know.
Yeah, I'll go back and look at the play-by for the game. But yeah, what the crazy thing that we talked about yesterday, Clay, is that all this is going to change next week. I mean, it goes right back to the rules and the strike zone and no ABS starting next week with the regional.
And here's another question I want to ask you, Bill, because I respect you so much. You are absolutely maybe the broadcaster that I respect more than any other broadcaster around. Chase Frelick, over under 17. How many times he tap his hat tonight?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd 16 say
16 and a half. Do that one.
Oh, it's good. Oh, it's definitely going to be under that. I'm thinking single digits, but.
He might go for the Missouri players eight or nine,
yeah,
right?
I mean, that's a lot, though. That's an all. You know what? It depends on what happens with the first one or two, because you only get three. You don't want to be down to your third strike.
I'm just telling you. I've watched that young man play baseball. He has got an eye for the ball, and when he shakes his head, it was not a strike.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
99% of the time.
Yeah, that is one of the fun things about this. Hey, we appreciate the call, Clay. We got to run. Jason Caldwell is going to join us here when we come back. He's up in Hoover. We'll get his thoughts on the ABS and how that's affecting things here for this SEC tournament and much more. So stick with us. We're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. And we're now joined on the Drive hotline by our good friend Jason Caldwell. Normally with us here in the studios on Wednesdays from Auburn Undercover. But, of course, he's up in Hoover to cover Auburn in the SEC baseball tournament, which you know, amazingly thus far is on schedule today. We're going to have game three getting started when it's supposed to at 4:30 between Tennessee and Arkansas. JC, how you doing today?
Yeah, don't jinx us up here.
I know.
Saying that, though.
Yeah, well, did you guys drive through what we had here a little while ago?
Yeah, well, we only had we've been here probably a little over an hour, so we got a few sprinkles on the way up. Nothing here other than about 89 degrees and probably 89% humidity.
Oh, man.
So we're SEC tournament right now. We got every bit of it up here today, and it feels like 120 because as cool as it's been the last few weeks.
Oh, you're absolutely right, and that's the way it felt. I'll say this. You probably got a decent amount at your house. I really hadn't had but a sprinkler or two at my house. As soon as I hit the interstate, man, it was pouring in town. So we need the rain here. I'd love for it to hold off until, say, after game four each day in Hoover. That would be fine. You know, some overnight rain, things like that. But yeah, they're playing along. And today is you know, yesterday was sort of upset day. Teams that were on the outside looking in, trying to stay alive, you know, with Missouri, Vandy, and then LSU getting wins yesterday. But Missouri and Vandy have already gone down today. LSU's that last team that doesn't appear to have a spot locked for the tournament that's still trying to stay alive tonight against Auburn.
Yeah, no, very desperate team. That's what I wrote this morning. Listen. You know, they scratched their projected starter last night, William Schmidt, you know, and then went with some release guys and doing some things. I would not be shocked if Auburn had to go through both, you know, Cason Evans and William Schmidt tonight to win this game. I think you could see LSU do that. I would – nothing Jay Johnson did would surprise me at all. And so we'll see. They are beat up a little bit. The DH got slid into spikes last night. We'll see if he's able to go tonight. I don't think he would be. But, you know, for Auburn, can you swing the bat, get to the bullpen? Because LSU used three of their better bullpen arms last night. So if you can get to the bullpen, you may give yourself a good shot tonight. But listen, LSU is going to throw everybody and everything they've got tonight to try to win this game.
Oh, I mean, they're in a do-or-die situation. It's win or their season is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole week. There is no maybe. We just saw – you know, a Vanderbilt going, well, maybe. I don't think so for Vandy, but at least they're a maybe in that there is no maybe for LSU. If you don't win this thing, you're not in.
And that's something, you know, we've talked about it before, Jason, with basketball, right? When you're talking about like a team late in the season in college basketball, if one team absolutely needs this one for existential reasons for their season and the other team's in pretty good shape no matter what, generally, we'll see how it plays out tonight. I do wonder if the fact that LSU, I mean, look, they played their way into a position where they have to win a lot in Hoover this week. I mean, there's a reason they're in that position, but they are a team that was a preseason top five team, and they are a team that has so much more to play for this week than anyone else. I wonder if that gives them some kind of advantage.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing: Auburn wants to win this thing. Butch Thompson has said it. I think Auburn, I think you would feel good about your chances to be a national seed, but I think losing to LSU would put you in peril, in my opinion.
Right. I agree.
I think you would. So I think there's plenty to play for Auburn. Listen, the first thing is Butch Thompson said, well, look, we want to win a tournament. Yep. Auburn hadn't done it since 1998, so this is not a game where Auburn's going into it. You know, heck, you're throwing Jake Marciano. If that doesn't show you as a team that, hey, we're here to win this thing, so if you don't, it won't be because one team wants it more than the other one. I think it's just going to be with the fact that maybe you just didn't get it done. So I think sometimes you go into it. Listen, who knows? Georgia, you know, they could throw a different guy tomorrow, like Arkansas today. Arkansas is not throwing one of their weekend guys because they're probably not going to be able to get into that top group. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot for them to play for. But for Auburn, I think there's still plenty to play for tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining us here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. And Jason, the ABS challenge is in effect here, and we've seen some interesting things. The Missouri catcher yesterday was on fire, and we just had a caller before we brought you on wondering how many times you think Chase Frehlich's going to tap his helmet tonight. He said because he really has a lot of respect for Chase. And, you know, it was interesting as we talked with Butch yesterday. I mean, you're tempted to do it, but boy, you don't want to wear it out and actually, you know, lose a challenge or two early on.
No, I think that's it. I think it has to be in a key moment, or it has to be very, very obvious to go, look, this ain't even close. You know, I think what you have to avoid is letting pitchers do it. I think really, unless it's a hitter like a Chase Frelick that you really trust, like he was joking yesterday, he's like, Bub might use them all in one at bat if you let him to use them. So I think you have to be selective in when you use it. And look, we've seen everybody use it at some point, but I think, you know, to me, it's almost like the challenge you have. I think you need to make sure it's in a key situation. Hey, you got a strikeout and there's runners on base. Let's use it there. Don't use it on an 0-1 count with nobody on base. To me, those are the things you have to try to make sure you do a good job of.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing an awful lot of it, and understandably so, you're seeing it on 3-ball and 2-strike counts. You know, when it's ball 4, if the catcher thinks it's closer. And we saw it today, and we were talking about this a while ago, a situation I really hadn't thought of, you know, a situation where the runner takes off on a 3-1 count, it's called a ball, and then it's overruled. What do you do with the runner?
Yeah, we saw it last night. I was watching late in that the LSU-Oklahoma game. They have a full count, and they call it ball 4. He throws down to second anyway after a pause. But then he taps his head and says, no, I think that's a strike. Well, it was called a strike. Well, they then ruled, hey, they went ahead with the play, so the runner's safe at second. Never seen a situation where both coaches got mad. Because Oklahoma was like, hey, we stopped the play. Well, Jay Johnson's like, well, it was too late. He tapped. That was a situation where you're going, look, there's a no-win situation in that regard because he missed the call. And it impacted the play, and so they just let the play stand.
But, yeah, that's crazy.
There's no perfect system. Honestly, we're probably going to go to this more. I don't really like it a whole lot because this is some of these games. Today we've been lucky so far.
Yep.
But yesterday you had a couple four-hour games yesterday. And so hopefully that's not the case here the next two games.
Yeah, and Dan looked it up. MLB gives the ump the discretion as if he feels a defender was impacted because of the call, then they could send the runner back. But I guess if they felt the runner was already going to have it stolen, then they'd let it stay at second.
Yeah, they didn't think it impacted. I thought he flinched a little bit before he threw to second. I thought it impacted. They ruled.
Hey, I'm telling you what I do. What I do, Jason, if I'm a coach, I tell my catcher to pump every time. Just pump.
Well, you better play every play. Mm-hmm.
Either go ahead and go with the throw, hope the guy stops and you get him out, or definitely flinch and say, look, I only stopped because you called it ball 4.
Correct. But you got to tap your helmet within one of the quick ones to get it done.
See, that's what I was. That's what took me so long. I didn't throw because I was trying to tap my helmet. I don't know, but it is odd to me that they're playing the SEC tournament with an expanded strike zone. It seems like, you know, you're almost setting yourself up for guys getting used to a zone that's different than it's going to be next week.
Yeah, no, it's somebody has to be the guinea pig, and I think that's the SEC baseball teams this week. Because listen, once this happens, we've seen it before. This is the first place we saw teams be able to challenge a call.
Right.
Now that's a part of it every day. I think with the money in this league, we're going to see the ABS, and we're going to see it as an everyday occurrence. I think it's going to be something we see more of.
Yeah, curious to see how it impacts play the rest of the rest of the week. Jason, I thought you made a really good point about like the importance Auburn has placed on performing this week in Hoover. Like this is you would think maybe Auburn would be in position to elect the LSU path of a couple of years ago, right? Where it's like, oh, you know, how important is Hoover? But when your spot in hosting regional or more super regional, Auburn's going to be a top 16
right.
seed.
Auburn's definitely
no matter
top
what.
16.
But when your spot in the top 8 hangs in the balance,
or could be questioned by anyone. I mean, and I think the other thing is, Jason, with the depth that Auburn has, and they feel like, you know, as Butch said yesterday, Auburn, has been pretty fortunate this year with injuries. Not to say they haven't had any, but I mean, their weekend guys have been able to go out there and they're just fine. And when you've got that kind of depth, you can keep them on pace. Might as well go ahead and go out there and hope you get to use them all again this week before you get to regional play.
That's it. Yeah, you got two guys that you feel like, hey, you know, with Jake Marciano, six days rest, Jackson Sanders coming back, look, can those guys get you through 7 innings and you got a lead? Can you go win it because you got a day off?
Right.
And then you do that, and then you get back to Jay Alvarez on Saturday, I mean on Friday, and Alex Petrovic on Saturday, and then do what you got to do if you get to Sunday. But I think it's set up now that, like, you can again, I think, like I said, I don't think Jake Marciano is the guy that's going to throw 120 pitches tonight. I would guess 70, somewhere around in there. Depends on how easy they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have to work and you throw 35 pitches in the second inning, then it probably changes how deep you go in a game. But if you could have some innings where you have 14, 15 pitch innings, you might get to 75, 80 pitches because it might be a little bit easier. So how much traffic do you have to face? How many pressure situations? But I think, look, they've kind of thrown their cards on the table, said, look, we want to go try to win this game, and we'll see if they're able to do it.
Jason Caldwell with Auburn Undercover here with us on the Wednesday Drive. Jason, can you stick with us for one more segment?
Yeah, I'm going to go down and shoot some photos for my Tennessee guys here. So I got it just now started, top of the first. I'm good.
Right. Okay, great. We'll do that because there's some other things we want to get to as well. We'll wrap things up with Jason when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive. Stick with us.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Jason Caldwell joining us from the from Hoover, where the SEC baseball tournament is going on. Game three just underway. Bottom one, but scoreless between Tennessee and Arkansas. Jason, I mean, there's plenty more going on and to be talked about. Let's get your thoughts on Auburn men's golf. It was exciting, a little scary today, deep into the final round over in Athens before Auburn was able to clinch a spot in the Nationals next week.
For them, it shows you a little bit of the fight and grit they've got because it wasn't a perfect week for them. Jackson Coivin under the weather for much of the week, and so you're doing it without your number one guy at his best. But boy, they got some big time production, and you were able to dig deep. And the back nine this week played so much different than the front. You felt like once they got to the back nine, they were going to be able to make a few plays and make a few shots and catch and. You know, and they did. They made up some ground there in the back nine, and I thought really did a good job. To look, there's a lot of pressure when you're the one everybody's gunning for, and they want to win. They want to win every time they go out, but they don't give you trophies for regionals. All they do is you advance, move on, and so
you
for
survive
them,
in advance. That's right.
Yeah, you can take a deep breath now and get ready for the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers were amazing there. When you talk about the difference in the front and the back nine, Auburn goes 3 over on the front nine for the tournament and 25 under on the back nine.
Yeah, no, it was that was it. And, you know, that kind of created some separation, especially day one, where some teams started on the back and then flipped to the front. You know, early on, you look like, man, this team's in trouble. And then, you know, you get to the back nine, and you start making some birdies, and they did that all week. And, it proved to be the difference for them.
Yeah, no question about it. So, yeah, they'll get started this next Friday out in Carlsbad, I believe, is where it is, right?
Yeah, women, men both head out there, and we'll see if they can go make some noise.
Yeah, no kidding. Jason, wanted to get your thoughts. It sounded like a good big cat this past Saturday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you look and, just continue to build relationships, build momentum. They're doing that on the recruiting trail and, you know, with commitments in addition to Big Cat. So, listen, I think they're doing a good job. And look, you look up and you go, you're not top five, but I think they're getting really good fits and quality additions so far. And, look, I think they're setting some groundwork, which is what you want to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like recruiting off to a good start. And we'll see. Again, it's that time of year where – You hope the only news there is commitment, something like that. It's there's some other places where there's some news, and and it's usually not good. But
yeah. You want to avoid anything with dealing with cars or anything like that during the summer. You want to avoid those at all costs.
Oh, no question. All right, Jason, Auburn LSU tonight. Again, as you've said, LSU desperate. They'll throw everything that they have at Auburn tonight. But Auburn definitely they're in that want to win category as well. So hopefully this is an intriguing game, and I hope the Bats can get things going. The ball's been flying pretty well at Hoover here over the first day and a half.
It has. Not as much at night, but it's been doing a pretty good job, you know, flying during the day. It wasn't as much last night. Boy, hey, it's going to be wet. It's going to be muggy.
Yeah,
got to avoid mistakes tonight because that looks – it's going to be a really slippery baseball once Auburn gets there, especially in the late innings. So play clean baseball. Do what they've done this year, which is throw strikes, and get to the LSU bullpen. You do that, and you'll feel pretty good.
Jason, when you get back to town, we'll have quite a bit of football stuff to talk about, including, I mean, so it's what official visits start back up this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's this weekend, and then it'll be rolling here for the next few weeks heading into the middle of June or so. So it'll be a busy time heading into camp time. And a whole lot going on for sure.
What can you tell us about the two commitments Auburn's picked up in the last couple of days?
Yeah, I really love Layton, offensive line commitment. I think it's a huge addition. And listen, you know, I think it's the highest rated offensive tackle that Auburn has, and they don't have him signed yet. But since Calvin Ashley in 2017, and you got to go back to probably Sean Coleman to find the last one that actually produced. But I love the fit and. You know, I compared him to Lane Johnson, who was Philadelphia Eagles guy, because, look, this is a guy that looks like a tight end, athletic frame. You can put good weight on him, and a guy that probably could play at, you know, 300 pounds as a freshman, but weighs about 285 right now. Mm-hmm. Those are the types of guys you look for as an offensive tackle. And, look, he's aggressive, and he's got good feet to get to the second level. And because in the run game, they want to get to the second level and get on the edge, and I think he can do those things.
Jason, great stuff. I know you're busy and going down to get some work done here before Auburn and LSU play. Let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that that you and all the folks have going there at Auburn Undercover.
Yeah, check us out, auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. And like I said, got a lot going on. Christian was in Athens covering golf. He's got his updates and stories from over there talking about the men's golf team. Lots of stuff from basketball this week, and we'll have some more of that coming. And obviously baseball here, as long as the Tigers keep playing. And then heading into next week, Memorial Day will be coverage of regionals, and figure out if the Tigers will be a super regional host. So find it all at auburnundercover.com.
Well, Brian was saying y'all are planning up and back today. Hope everything stays on schedule and it's not too late.
Yeah, if we get delayed or one of these games goes about 14 innings, then we have plans to alter that trip and maybe spend the night. So we'll see.
All right. Hope everything goes well, Jason. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jason Caldwell joining us here on the Wednesday Drive. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Open up the phone lines. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Big prizes, big fun, all year long. Dixie Electric, plumbing and...
couple of segments. Adam Cole will join us in hour number two at around 5:15. We'll get his thoughts on the SEC tournament and just whatever else is on his mind.
Auburn scheduled to play tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, this game here, we're still in the bottom of the first. Is this still the bottom of the first? I thought... the top of the first went quickly, and there hasn't been a run. Well, now there have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two runs for Arkansas. A bomb. Two run.
It's off the scoreboard.
Yeah, yeah. So Arkansas is up two here in the first inning on Tennessee. Again, these teams, they're just having fun. I mean, they're up three. That's right, because it was 1-0 before that two-run shot. So as Jason said, look, Arkansas is they bypassing their regular starter here because whatever happens in this ball game isn't really going to have much of a factor at all. If any, they're in the NCAA tournament. They're going to be a top 16 seed. They're not going to be a top 8 national seed. So they're going to be on the road in the second round, but they'll host a first round regional.
Yeah, Tennessee is a team that could maybe play its way into the top 16 with a strong showing this weekend.
Right.
I don't think there's a consensus as to – I think a lot of folks have Tennessee as a two seed in their bracket projections right now. You know, so this is it's an important couple of games for Tennessee if they want to make a serious move into that top 16 and maybe get to host some baseball next weekend. You're right. With Arkansas, it feels like the die is probably cast that they're somewhere in that 10 to 16 range.
And regardless, yeah. I mean, so they're loose. Yeah. They're and they look like they're having fun here in the bottom of the first. And sure, it's fun when you jump up three. Yeah.
Fellow
with just one out in the first.
Fellow hit the home run. Looked like he was and it was their second home run of the inning. So
yeah. So well, like I said, the ball has really been flying here at Hoover. They've either set or they're about to set the record for most home runs in the SEC tournament, and we're on day two. I mean, the ball has been jumping there in Hoover. We'll see what happens tonight. LSU's got some guys that can mash, and Auburn. I think people maybe just expect video game numbers or something from everyone, because I've heard Auburn described as a questionable offense. Auburn has statistically one of the better offenses in the league. They have the best pitching.
Auburn
doesn't have the most powerful offense in the league, but Auburn is in the upper third across the board in most of the offensive categories.
Yeah, I think it's a thought the offense has had ups and downs, right? I mean, I guess who doesn't?
But it has. You want you still yeah. you.
You're right.
You won 17 conference games, and you know only one team won noticeably more, and that was Georgia. I mean, you know, nobody else was out of the teens in wins.
I do, and you wonder, like, I guess you could say, like, Auburn's offense struggled on Fridays in the SEC this year, but you're facing the other team's best guy.
Well, you know what? Other teams struggled against Auburn on Fridays well. I mean, they won some games.
They did. I mean, Auburn's Friday starter did not have a very good win-loss record.
No, he didn't have a very good win-loss record, but it was
in
right
conference.
At, he was around 500.
Yeah.
And he had an ERA under 3. So,
sure.
I mean, teams didn't put up big numbers.
Absolutely. We were just talking about with the all-conference. Marciano is, like, the underlying stats. If you're willing to look past wins and losses, the underlying stats are probably all-conference worthy. They're not going to put a guy who's, is he 2-5 or 2-6, whatever he was, in SEC play this year.
I think 2-4 or 2-5.
You're not gonna make the all.
And he had a couple of other games where he left with leads.
Yeah.
And they didn't win. So,
but I guess the question would be like, okay, well, if you're a team, even if you acknowledge, okay, offense maybe struggled on Friday sometimes, how often are you going to see SEC Friday night starting pitching in the postseason? Like, you're going to see
once
a series.
Yeah, once
twice.
A series.
I think the fact that Auburn's offense was really able to jump on Saturday and Sunday starters, I mean, that would suggest that it's an offense that could pose some trouble, especially in regional play. You'd think that's an offense that's going to be able to show up, going to be able to get to some teams, especially
because teams
have already thrown their aces.
You know, how confident are you in saving your best pitcher if you've got to win a ball game to get there?
Oh, in regional play?
Yeah.
I don't think you save your best pitcher. I think you go out and try to win a game and try to stay out of the loser's bracket. Maybe you hold your ace in situations but I don't know. Like, it just it gets so much harder to win a regional once you've dropped a game.
Oh, no kidding.
Right? That, like, I would wonder if an Arkansas party continues there on the base paths. I would think that maybe you just have to use whatever you've got, and that's seemingly that bodes well for an Auburn offense that has been able to jump on, that's been able to occasionally really jump on opposing pitchers.
Yeah, again, as Jason said, Jake Marciano will get the start. Jackson Sanders is expected to be the number two guy again tonight because they love his ability to be able to come back. And since tomorrow, you know, you get the win tonight. If you do, you get tomorrow off. Look, I guess either way, you get tomorrow off. If you don't win, you've got more than tomorrow off. But regardless, if you have a game on Friday, Jackson might be able to go then, but he'd definitely be able to come back on Saturday or if you needed him a little later. So that's the plan tonight. Those two lefties will go. We'll see what LSU does. As Jason was saying, don't be surprised to see LSU throw a couple of their best arms because they have to win. If they have any chance of trying to defend their national title, they have to win the SEC title. And I don't know how many years LSU has been the team where it didn't matter. They'd throw anybody because they knew they were in and knew they were probably a top eight national seed and would, you know, throw some other guys out there just to see what they could get. They're in the completely opposite situation this year. All right, we're halfway done here on the Wednesday drive. We'll get to our top of the hour break. My goodness, they hit another one.
Oh, boy.
It looks like, oh, caught wow. at the fence. But Arkansas is up four in the bottom of the first. That is the next to the last game before Auburn and LSU. We're halfway done here on the Wednesday drive. Got a few minutes before Adam Cole joins us. So come on in here as we get to our top of the hour break.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. We're keeping an eye. I see the LSU bus turning into the Hoover Met. Hard to miss that baby. That thing's moving. Mm-hmm. They're moving, too. Are they late getting again? No. There's plenty of time. We're in the top of the second inning here in this.
Maybe it was the interstate.
Game they're of the cutting, day. I don't know. It looked like they're cutting into the ballpark. A lot of LSU and Auburn fans there already.
Two wheels.
Because this is the evening session, and Arkansas and Tennessee are playing right now. And then Auburn and LSU will play the final game. Interesting that, you know, these teams did not meet during the season because you played 10 of the 15 other teams in the league. And it looked early, you know, it looked preseason like, hey, that's a break for Auburn, not having to play LSU. And then LSU goes out and goes 9-21 in conference. Auburn was the only team in the top eight, Dan, to play every other team in the top eight.
Remarkable.
Yeah, and still they go 17-13.
And that's part of the reason why Auburn's underlying yes. numbers are so strong and why some folks think Auburn has already locked up a top eight spot.
I think they should be, but you never know, and that's why I think Butch Thompson doesn't want his team thinking like that. He wants them to go out and play well. They'd love to win the SEC tournament. Like Jason Caldwell said when he was on with us in hour number one, look, Auburn hasn't won the SEC tournament in nearly 30 years, 1998. Was the last time Auburn won the SEC tournament. So, sure, it wouldn't hurt to win it. It only could help them a little bit, probably not substantially, but it would be something to be very proud of because it just doesn't come along very often.
I think there's also the thought that you want to be playing your best baseball of the season mm-hmm. right now, and a loss to LSU on a neutral site a week before regional play starts when you've got your Friday night starter right. on the mound and when you feel like you've had a better season, you're a better team than LSU. Losing tonight would be, granted, it would not limit Auburn's ability in any serious way to win regionals or win super regionals. But it's not exactly what you want to do.
No, it's not what you want going in.
Tonight.
You don't want to have lost four of your last five. No. Is that what it is right now?
That's what it would be. Yeah,
it would be four out of their last five if they were to lose tonight. Now, they're going to get to be back at home. We know that. Regardless, Auburn will be at home next week. Will they be a top eight national seed or not? A win tonight, I think, would affirm that they are, would sort of be confirmation, because I can't imagine how you'd say, you know, that this team doesn't deserve to do that. Like I said, I said either yesterday or maybe it was this morning on Wimp Sanderson's show, look, I mean, had Auburn beaten Texas A&M and Mississippi State the last 2 weeks after losing two out of three to Texas 3 weeks ago, I don't think people would be saying what they're saying now just because Auburn lost a series. By the way, it was the only series they lost in the final seven.
Baseball America's projections updated earlier today have Auburn as the number six overall seed in the draw.
That's pretty consistent. Auburn's right at number six, it seems like.
Five of the top eight coming from the SEC.
So they've got A&M in there as well?
Georgia, Texas, Auburn, Alabama, and A&M. Mm-hmm.
I think A&M is right now, it looks like A&M is that team that people either have as the number eight or number nine. National seed. It seems like Baseball America's kept them at eight.
Yeah, UCLA, Georgia Tech, and North Carolina are the three non-SEC teams mm-hmm. in there. Baseball America also thinks, where do they have, did they drop Kentucky out of their field completely with the loss today?
Wow.
That might be, Kentucky is the first team out of Baseball America's latest projections.
Well, they were the they were the 12th team in. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever look and see how close they were to being out.
If I may read from the article here, Bill, Kentucky fell out of the field entirely after an 8-5 loss to Vanderbilt and Hoover, left it with a complicated and ultimately unattractive resume. The Wildcats suffered more losing weekends than winning weekends this season, finished with 2 fewer SEC wins than Vanderbilt, while also losing the head-to-head matchup with a Commodores team that also projects to miss the tournament. Kentucky dropped 8 quad 3 or 4 games.
Oh, that's tough.
And played
that
one of the,
is tough.
Played one of the weakest non-conference schedules among potential at-large contenders. There are too many negatives to overlook. Unquote.
Well, that's some very good points there. I mean, I didn't think about it because, you know, yes, Vandy was the 12 seed and Kentucky was the 13.
They've moved Troy off of the bubble and they've got Troy in. I may have made, when I said Troy was the last, Troy was one of the last 4 teams in, mm-hmm. but I think Troy may have been in the best position of those 4 bubble teams because now they've got Texas State as the last team in the draw. They've still got Louisiana, Michigan as bubble teams as well, but they met, as we just mentioned, Kentucky is the first team out of Baseball America's latest projection. Vanderbilt is also.
And there's nothing Kentucky can do.
There's nothing
Kentucky. They're done playing.
No, and Vanderbilt is one of the next 4.
Well, out, so, and then they lost today to Florida.
And they lost today to Florida as well.
Yep.
So it's.
So the SEC may only get 11 teams mm-hmm. in, almost half of them. Could be top 8 national seeds.
Auburn's projected regional includes the 28 ranked team in the draw. UC Santa Barbara, the champions of the Big West, so they'll be coming over. Are they the? They're not the Slugs, are they?
No, the Banana Slugs are the.
That's Santa Cruz, right. Is it? Are they the? It's not. It's like Cowboys, right? They're
Gauchos. No, that's.
Oh, I should know this.
You see, I know I've heard what
Ferg's
their nickname
Ferg's
is.
Yelling at his radio right
I'm
now.
Sure, so. He is.
Oh, they are the Gauchos. No, okay, I was gonna say I was like it's like
Cowboys. You said no, it's Gauchos.
It's like Cowboy, but yeah, are they stuck with the Gaucho name? But like, no, yeah, they're the Gauchos. So that'd be really exciting for Steely Dan fans like me and like me and Adam Cole to potentially have the Gauchos in as one of our. As one of Auburn's potential regional opponents. Who else is in that mix? They've got UC Santa Barbara, TCU, and Bethune-Cookman as the other 3 teams in Auburn's regional. The 11 seed, because Auburn has the 6, would project to face the 11 in super regionals. The 11 seed in this projection is Southern Miss. They've got Arkansas. How about that, Bill? This Arkansas team that we're seeing on TV right here, the 2 seed in Southern Miss, in the Southern Miss regional.
I bet that's not exciting for Golden Eagles fans.
I think if you're Southern Miss, if you're hosting in the top 16, you better brace for an SEC
team. Oh yeah, that's
as
right.
The 2 seed, because they're not going to send an SEC. Like half of the regional draw is SEC teams, and they want to keep things regional enough that they want to send.
You don't want to have conference matchups there in the regionals if possible.
No, so they've got they've got Southern Miss as the 11 seed hosting in Hattiesburg with Arkansas, High Point, and Campbell as the other 3 teams in that regional. We've been tracking a couple of mid-majors. Jacksonville State projected as the 23 overall. They would be sent to Tallahassee in the old Auburn 2 seed,
right?
In Florida State's regional. Alabama's 2 seed would be Missouri State, Michigan, one of the last teams in. They got them as the 3 seed in that regional. Coastal Carolina would be the 2 seed in College Station as the 2 seed for the 8 seeded Aggies. They could be potentially facing off with the Shants.
Yeah, and that will all come out next Monday. Will the entire field? So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, I decided to look up again. We were talking about the Auburn offense. I pulled up the SEC's final. This is actually going into today, so it includes last night's games. Conference only stats. Auburn is 5th in the SEC in batting with a .276 team batting average. Texas hit .277, Mississippi State .280, Texas A&M .281. Those are the 2, 3, and 4 teams. Georgia hit .302 in conference. But, I mean, the thought that this has been a weak Auburn offense, They look, Auburn only hit 37 homers in conference, which is nowhere near the top. But I mean, Auburn and runs scored, not a problem. 182 runs scored, only 1, 2, 3 teams scored 200 this year. So Auburn's in the top five across, like I said, pretty much across the board, except for homers and the home runs picked up down the stretch. Granted, pitching has been the most consistent feature for Auburn all year long. But I think for people, I think for people that feel like this has been a weak hitting team, I'd beg to differ there and say, look at the rest of the SEC.
I mean, there have been, I think it was Jason's point, right, that there were probably too many games in conference where Auburn was held to three or fewer.
Yeah.
Right? Like and the beginning of conference play.
But everybody but Georgia was held to by the aces of the league, held down a few times this year.
And we did mention what was like 12 games into conference play, the offense had not produced to where folks thought.
Yeah, when Auburn was 4-5.
When Auburn was 4-5, and you were talking about like, okay, there have been.
Oh, the schedule gets tougher too.
And not only schedule gets tougher, but also like where has the, like it was up and down the lineup. It was tough to find like a singular bright spot. Even guys like Eric and Frelick had struggled.
But then Auburn had 7 series left. They won 6 straight series and then lost 2 out of 3 to Texas.
To Georgia. And the offense performed better.
I keep saying Texas there at the end.
The offense performed better in those.
Oh, yes.
In that second half of the season. So yeah, I think. And you saw some. The other thing is, you saw some younger players, make strides like Ethan Bingaman, right? Like I mean, the McCranes. Like the thought that it would make sense that they're hitting the ball better after seeing 30 games against SEC pitching than they were earlier in their careers. And I'm excited to see what the postseason holds for some of those young players that took strides in over the course of conference play.
Oh, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to check in with Adam Cole here in a couple of minutes. He's up in Birmingham as well. Hoover. I shouldn't say Birmingham because Hoover is its own city. It's not in Birmingham. He's there in Hoover for the SEC tournament as well. So we'll check in with him, get his thoughts on the SEC tournament and more. So stick with us. We'll get to our first break here of hour number 2 of the Wednesday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio watching game 3 of day 2 of the SEC tournament, where Arkansas leads Tennessee 4-0 with the Vols batting in the top of the third. Earlier today, Mississippi State blasted Missouri 12-2, and Florida eliminated Vandy by the score of 8-3. So the higher seeds have won thus far, and the top seed in this matchup, Arkansas, is leading Tennessee. Auburn fans hoping that that continues this evening when the Tigers, who are the 6th seed here in the SEC tournament, take on LSU, who was the 14 seed. They got the win last night over Oklahoma.
And our good buddy Adam Cole is in Hoover, and he will be covering Auburn baseball as long as Auburn baseball competes in the SEC tournament. And he joins us on the phone right now from the ballpark. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Nothing much. Doing okay. Can't complain. Travels were safe today, and traffic wasn't any worse than usual. Getting to Hoover, it still existed, but no. Well,
it always does getting into the ballpark a little bit, but at least you haven't had any bad weather there. We got quite the rain here for about an hour and a half, a little earlier this afternoon.
Okay, yeah, I guess I missed that heading out of Auburn this morning, and it's there were a little bit of gray skies every once in a while heading up here today, but it seems like the rain has stayed away so far to this point. I don't know. We'll see. It's Hoover. It feels inevitable, But, not a bad day for baseball at all.
No, and things are going on schedule today. Game 3 got started on time, and they're in the bottom of the third, less than an hour in. So there's a good chance that Auburn and LSU could be playing, starting before, before primetime is done tonight.
Yeah, I feel like that's a sentence that doesn't get uttered much this week for much of anybody.
Kidding.
So, no, it's like they keep putting out that probable 8 p.m. start time, and I'm like, do I write that or do I write to be announced? You know, it seems more safe doing to be announced. But no, if they actually wind up playing by 8 tonight, I feel like I'll turn around and maybe see a pig flying, you know? So, but yeah, no, it's, that's about all you can hope for right now for sure. Cause you're gearing up for, you know, I know they're the 14 seed and it wasn't the year they wanted, but after watching the way LSU played last night, you're definitely going to have your hands full this evening.
Well, they are the defending national champs, and we're a preseason top five team. It's not like they lack talent. And you really get the feeling that here down the stretch, this is what LSU's been looking at, going, look, we're not going to get in because of what we did in the regular season or didn't do in the regular season. The only way they're getting in is to win this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think, Bill, I may have been talking to you about it, but I think somebody mentioned to me they didn't start any of their usual starters on the final weekend of the regular season. And it looks like, I don't know that it's been formally announced, but I think it's at least assumed that Auburn will be seeing Cason Evans tonight, who was just a big part of that push last year for them getting to the Natty as a freshman. So that's going to certainly be a tall task. And then I don't know about you, but just watching it last night against Oklahoma, it seemed like every time LSU needed something, it was always one of two guys and usual suspects, but you know, whether it was Stephen Milam. I know Milam, their shortstop, or Garrett Curiel, just seemed like every time last night they came up when it was needed, there was, you know, some knock into the opposite field, or it seemed like every hit Curiel had was a double. But that seems like a team that's very, like you said, you know, it's this or nothing at all. And, you know, to keep moving in advance and get that much closer to solidifying the national seed, Auburn's going to have to really, you know, like you said, that talent, but just as well, if not more. I mean, the hunger seems very much there for LSU. So Auburn's not going to have an easy one to start this one. No Missouri's or South Carolina's to get you rolling here in Hoover. So,
Adam, are there players on this Auburn team that you feel like would really benefit from a strong performance in Hoover this week? I mean, obviously that depends on how long Auburn stays in the tournament. But you know, I think about whether it's a guy like Alvarez, who maybe didn't have his best outing the last time he was on the mound, or some of the hitters that have struggled
in SEC play, maybe,
and struggled to find consistency in SEC play. Like, is there anyone that comes to mind where it's like it'd be a great sign to see quality baseball out of this player for Auburn this week?
Yeah, I think it's funny. The first name I think of is on paper, if you're scratching your head at it, I totally get it, because he was Auburn's only first-team All-SEC guy this year. But I think if you can have a big week and a big performance from Chris Rembert, like, I just think that would be significant, because he, you know, he hit for average all year, and, you know, it's not like he, you know, was a letdown by any means, obviously, first-team All-SEC, but he's a guy who I feel like there's a little more there, right? You want him to tap into a little more, especially in the sense of his power, because you know it's there. And so I think you'd love to see that. And really in the lineup, like that DH spot, you know, and there's a whole cast of characters you could throw in there. And I think really the big three are Eddie Madrigal, Logan Gregorio, and Lucas Steele. But if you can have one of those three guys really, I think in particular, figure it out at that spot, I feel like you're unlocking so much more in this lineup. I think on the mound too, you know, Dre's a great one to mention. And especially if you get to the point where you're throwing Andreas Alvarez or Alex Petrovic, like you will have advanced to the point where you're in that. I mean, you're in that technically three game weekend series kind of setup, even though you will have played that fourth game in theory on Wednesday tonight. But I think for a guy like Dre, that'd be something to see. I think Jake Marciano too. That's another guy who, especially against this sort of lineup tonight, you'd really love to see him buckle down and give you somewhere between 5 and 6 clean innings. I think that'd be huge, because, you know, and that's the thing about this staff, is like, this is still a great talented staff, but you know, you hit that point in the year and you've been going, and eventually your stuff maybe sinks a little bit, metaphorically speaking. And you know, Jake Marciano came out and was so dominant, and I don't know that you've seen that sheer dominance from him that you did at the start of the year. I think those are two guys, and then, you know, the one that you'd have to get all the way to Sunday, I think, to really see this. But if you can give Griffin Graves another chance to get out there and get some innings and throw some pitches, just the more reps you get out of him as you head towards the postseason and just need that many more capable arms, I think would be massive. Now, obviously, that's a little cart before the horse, so to speak, but no, Auburn's got a healthy list of guys who, you know, some of them in that DH category who have been underperforming, sure, but like they've got a healthy list of guys who a good week here could really, really go a long way.
You know, a couple of things that come to mind. I mean, with Jake, it would be great to see Auburn be able to score a few runs and have him go to the mound, not thinking I've got to shut him down again this inning. It seems like lately it's just been. It's obvious because he's been going against the number one guy for everybody else, and will probably again tonight. But he hasn't had the luxury, it doesn't feel like, of having two or three runs to work with when he takes the mound at just about any time. So that would be nice for a change. A guy that I was wondering about, Adam, that when we were talking, when Butch was asked yesterday about DH, we haven't seen Bristol lately. He's been struggling. There's no question
about that.
And Cade Ballou, he was so close to having a three-homer game against Georgia the other day. I mean, it would be great if you could. I mean, those guys are both great defenders, but I wondered, maybe put Bristol in as a DH sometime just to see if you could get a little spark going there, because man, he could do so many. He's so creative and can be such a nuisance when he's on the bases.
Yeah, that's honestly, like, Bill, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I was thinking about that when Butch got off the podium yesterday. Of it was like, I wish I would have asked about Bristol at that DH spot, because, you know, I think whether it is him or Cade, I think the use of that DH spot switches a little. I don't know that you would put Cade Ballou in as a nine-hole hitter DH, but I think Bristol,
yeah,
if you can put him in that nine-hole and have him get back to channeling a little bit of that early season success where he was really just swinging it well as a leadoff guy. To have that at the bottom of the order, like I just that would unlock to me like a whole new level of this team. If you can have a guy who hits that well for contact, and whether he's swinging bunts or bunting or just hustling it out and getting to first, like that profile of player in him, if you have him as a bottom of the order DH, like I really think that could unlock a lot of things. And if you can pair that with, you know, Cade continuing to be on the upswing, like that just. Yeah, it takes this lineup, this team, and the hitting potential to me to a level that, you know, I don't know that we've seen it, you know, in that spot this year. So no, that's honestly, Bill, I appreciate you bringing that one up, because that should be number one on the list, really, is Bristol. You know, if you can have him getting back to what he gave you early in the year, like that would be massive. And to do that and have Cade Ballou come along for the ride, like. I feel like you're looking at a different lineup at that point, you know? I mean, you are in the literal sense, but in that metaphorical one, it's just the things you could do with that would be significant.
Well, it would be gigantic if Auburn can get, I'd say, more out of Bristol in the postseason than you got from him in SEC play this year. I mean, his big moments were big, but there was an inconsistency there. We were looking at the conference-only stats, and, look, I don't know who you would have predicted to lead the team in batting average in SEC play this year. But I feel like even folks who really know the team would have had to work their way down before Ethan Bingaman's name was the one. And for Ethan Bingaman to lead, what are the...
Ethan hit 333, and then I believe Eric and Chris hit 328.
I'm really excited to see what Ethan can do in his first postseason.
Yeah, that's a kid who it's just, you know, these freshmen that Auburn have hit on these last few years,
yes,
right?
Indeed.
Like the biggest thing is them... just being in that mental space of like, I'm not, they don't, that doesn't, you know, that the freshman thing doesn't enter their mind. You know, it's like, that's the way they play. That's the way they act. You know, I mean, obviously Ike Irish is probably the biggest example of that, but Bingy's got a lot of that to him. And, you know, like you mentioned, like who led him in SEC play, and it's like, it may not be the usual suspect. It's like, that's, if I had to think of a name, like Ethan Bingaman's the first one, you know? And just, I feel like what you've seen of him down the stretch of late, he's been such a big, important piece of that lineup and their success. So, you know, the thought of him having a big postseason, and I mean, I think I think it's fair enough to throw the other freshmen in there too, whether that's Mason McCrane or, you know, redshirt freshman, but Brandon McCrane, like, if those guys can continue to show you that they're at their best, like, on this stage, you know, that's significant for this year. And then, it seems like we always wind up talking about it a little bit with baseball, but, like, just – not only significant for this year, but for what's to come down the line of, you know, three guys who were in freshman years last year being contributors in the postseason, you know, as many as that, like that's just, that'd do a lot for you and not just for this postseason.
Yeah. And it feels like baseball that there just is a better chance of retaining players. It feels like in baseball than there is in football or basketball.
Yeah, no. And I mean, this program and this staff, I mean, what they managed to do last year to me was impressive enough, right? Of, you know, you're dealing with a regional and you start bringing in this transfer class and what all you got. But it's just like, I go back to 24, you know, and it's like, folks who know Ike Irish and like his disposition, it's not a shock that he came back after that 24 season, but even still, like, you got to come correct, right? You got to have something for him. You got to have your side and your pitch and a reason to give him for coming back. And clearly, like, Auburn had that. And, you know, to be able to do that with these freshmen, you know, the McCranes or Bingaman or you know, like LJ Cormier is another example of a standout freshman who's destined for bigger with this program. Like, to have success with those guys and to have them have success in this uniform in a postseason, like, that's, you can't write that selling point. Like, that's a selling point that's got to be lived. And Auburn's been lucky to have that, you know, of late, for sure.
Talking with Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser. Adam, we saw Baseball America's got today still has Auburn as the number 6 national seed. D1 Baseball's got Auburn as the 7. Do you think they need to win tonight to stay in the top 8?
My very, very short answer is yes. But my less short and hopefully not long answer is
they shouldn't have to.
They shouldn't. In theory,
but I think with you. I'm with you. I think it surely wouldn't hurt.
You got to watch out for Florida. That's the biggest thing. Is like, I was talking to Mark Etheridge, who's at D1 Baseball, does a lot of their SEC coverage before the Georgia series, and I was just like, "What's your view on this national seed setup and where Auburn sits in it?" And to me, to him, like, the way he put it to me was, "You've got maybe like about eight, 9 teams right now trying to figure out 8 spots, right?" And he's like, to me, the way that they fall off of that is somebody surging and somebody coming into the fold, and then you've got to refigure it out. And I think, you know, you have that head-to-head against Florida, right, which should help solidify your case if they do get hot and try to, you know, land a top 8 seed. But, you know, at that point, like, I don't have the numbers in front of me and what the resumes look like on paper or the record comparisons, but that's a team that, like, if they continue to keep rolling here in Hoover, like, you need to win tonight, and, you know, you'd really like to win tonight and then, you know, see A&M on Friday and get a couple. You know, I think if you win one, you're feeling great. If you win two, there's no doubt in your mind. And, you know, if you don't win tonight, like, I think there's still some doubt looming. But even after last year, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, well, is Auburn going to be a national seed? And then you look up on Selection Monday and they're a top 4 seed. I think they've done a really good job of playing to the whole resume thing as far as the postseason goes. And, you know, they've done it even better this year. And I think that should take them a long way. But I do think if you leave tonight, there's still a shred of doubt about it. But I don't know how real it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because, you know, LSU has to win. I mean, there's they can't leave anything, you know, in the dugout tonight. They've got to throw it all on the field to try to keep their chances of repeating.
Yeah, so it's going to set up for – I think this is going to be a blast of a game. I think you're getting LSU at their theoretical best in terms of this year, which is, you know, you probably wish it was a South Carolina or a Missouri, but, you've got a chance to really, like – if you can stomp out this team and their momentum, like, you've got a chance to show people, like, hey, this is who we are, and make a stand, so to speak, even though it's a 14 seed in the SEC tournament. You know, I guess that last part,
it is the defending national champ, though, and everybody knows the name, so no doubt about it.
Yeah,
great stuff as always, Adam. Let folks know where they can follow what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking to just go straight to the source and get all your Auburn coverage, just head to montgomeryadvertiser.com and click on sports at the top, and you should get a little drop down with the word Auburn in it. And if you click on that, you'll have everything you need. And if you're looking for me, whether that's on Twitter, TikTok, anywhere on social media, just search Cole Reporter. That's my last name, C-O-L-E, and the word reporter, and you'll be able to find me wherever you're looking for me.
Adam, thanks, man. Appreciate you spending some time with us. Hopefully it's not too late tonight, and you're planning a return trip up there for Friday.
Yeah, no, fingers crossed, fellas. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, take care, Adam.
You too.
Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser joining us here on the Wednesday Drive. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Open up our phone lines. Love to hear from you as we head into the final 25 minutes or so here on the Wednesday Drive.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this this edition. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Our thanks to Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser for joining us here in hour number two. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joined us in hour number one. If you missed any of those visits, we encourage you to check out the podcasts, which are available shortly after the show each day.
That's right. Podcasts available on your favorite podcasting platform. Search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center, all that available as soon as we get finished with the show on a daily basis. And yeah, great stuff in the first hour from Jason, not just about the college baseball tournament going on right now and Auburn's the possibilities of Auburn making some noise in the postseason. Jason also talking a little bit about football recruiting as right. As Auburn's 2027 class starts to starting to take shape.
They're up to 8 commitments now, and looking to add to that official visits. I mean, players can start taking visits again this coming weekend, and looks like Alex Goldish and his staff off to a good start. Had a good big cap this past Saturday.
And Jason mentioned the significance of the commitment from Layton, the big tackle up from Delaware, and it's like not only does it feel good to beat out Penn State and Notre Dame for an offensive tackle, especially an offensive tackle from that part of the country. But it's also a position that Auburn has struggled to recruit effectively over
Layton
the last.
Von Brandt.
That's right, and I mean, sounds like it's like Thurston Howell or something, right?
How many numerals are after his name?
Well bred
Von Brandt the third.
Yeah, it's an old money name. That's a position Auburn struggled with, Bill, and it's something that Auburn has. They've tried different coaches, they've tried different strategies, but recruiting and securing the best tackles from the high school ranks and getting them to commit to Auburn and sign with Auburn and develop into effective tackles has been one of the problems with the Auburn football program over the last few years. And we'll see if a player like Layton can be a step in the right direction.
Oh, yes. And Jason also talked a little bit about Auburn men's golf, headed back to California looking for their second national championship in the last 3 years. It was a struggle for the Tigers over in Athens today at the Athens Regional. Auburn was 4 shots back. The top 5 teams from each regional advanced to the national championship, and Auburn was 4 shots back midway through play today, but they as was the case for the entire regional, they were great on their second 9 holes today, and they actually finished 3rd overall, and that's all that matters here in the regional. It doesn't matter about winning the regional. It is just advancing, and Auburn finished 22 under. I think the numbers that we had was Auburn was 3 over par on the front 9 for the regional and 25 under on the back 9. And that's they finished strong again today. Josiah Gilbert, the top scorer for Auburn overall with a 11 under, shot 65, 68, and 69. Jackson Coyven, 6 under. Jake Albert was 2 under. Logan Riley, even. And then Caden Pope, 1 over for Auburn's 22 under as the Tigers advance along with Vandy, Louisville, BYU, and Georgia as Georgia edges out the College of Charleston there on their home course by 1 stroke. So congratulations to the Auburn men's golf team. And as Jason said, both the men and women are headed out to California where it's going to be at the Omni La Costa Resort in Carlsbad, just north of San Diego, and play starts this coming Friday. So congratulations to both golf teams advancing to the NCAA championship.
Yeah, and we mentioned it Monday, but again, congratulations to women's tennis on a phenomenal season as well.
Getting
so close to the national championship, and it's the best season in program history. It seems like things are, even with some upperclassmen that are going to move on, like things are going in the right direction for women's tennis. Mm-hmm. Men's golf looking for its second national championship in the last 3 years. and looking to add to that trophy case. And for Jackson, looking to polish off one of the best careers maybe of any athlete.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great for him to finish with an individual title too? Yeah. I mean, but the main goal is to try to win another team title.
But he's been great.
He's done
his part for sure. Indeed. to get Auburn in position yet again to win the national mm-hmm. championship. So yeah, you mentioned it before women's tennis got rolling. It was like between women's tennis, men's golf, and baseball, like you've got a couple of sports that feel like they are on the short list of the best teams in the country.
They are as capable as anybody in the country of winning the national title.
Sure, and we saw women's tennis go all the way to the national final on Sunday, and I mean they were very close to knocking off Texas A&M for the national championship. We'll see what happens with men's golf out in California, but they have as good a shot as anyone, seemingly. And then with baseball, just a lot of important starting tonight. A lot of important baseball for Butch Thompson and his team between the series between tonight's game with LSU and whatever else happens in Hoover. Returning to Auburn for games at Plainsman Park next week, and then if you're lucky enough, Super Regional. Hopefully you're hosting,
right?
And you can do that to get to Omaha.
As we approach our final break, have you seen the latest on the Brendan Sorsby story about the judge?
I've seen the recusal,
yes.
Right? Which
the
is
judge
probably...
who is a native of Lubbock and a longtime Texas Tech. He attended Texas Tech and a longtime Texas Tech known fan recusing himself. Yeah. Today,
yeah, the Sorsby sort of legal argument for the injunction to get to play now that he's been ruled ineligible, it is, and I guess it's reminiscent of R.J. Lewis in that if it were to succeed,
oh, it would be a landmark.
You wonder
it would change, you directly change the rules. That the NCAA has.
Yeah, let me see here. Among the claims in the
you were telling me these off the air yesterday. I had not seen all of them.
Yeah, well, the argument that the hypocrisy with the NCAA and I'll read from the ESPN's article about this. Sorsby, who entered residential treatment for gambling addiction 3 weeks ago, contends there is hypocrisy in the NCAA's harsh discipline for gambling violations, while at the same time. It has a partnership with Genius Sports, the exclusive distributor of official NCAA data feeds to authorized sports books. I think he's going after the argument that I mean it's a challenge.
He's saying the NCAA has aligned itself, has not taken a stance as far as financially against mm-hmm. gambling. So why should he be penalized? He's also alleging that the NCAA abandoned its obligations mm-hmm. and duties to promote his well-being.
Yeah. So I mean,
is it the NCAA's duty to promote his well-being or to prevent players from possibly doing something that could involve fixing of games?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that a legal challenge to a gambling ban in college sports or the NFL is... It's novel, right? I don't know if we've seen like.
It's not just football. I mean, every sport has rules against gambling.
I mean, I have a feel, and I know this thing's going to get, it's got to be expedited because you have a NFL supplemental draft deadline mm-hmm. in the next month or so as well. I don't know what attitude there is towards the NFL but at the same time, like. If a team in the NFL looked at Sorsby as a potential option
could help them
at quarterback,
right.
And you can get him on the cheap because it's the supplemental draft and not the NFL draft, and who knows how many buyers there are going to be, we'll see. I don't know if the NFL necessarily wants to be in the business of offering the supplemental draft as relief
probably not to
players who have been suspended for gambling from college, but. At the same time, if you're an NFL GM, and
teams, it's hard to turn your back on someone who could help you win.
Yeah, Bill, if you were the GM of the Arizona Cardinals right now, I wonder mm-hmm. how much you'd. I mean, you have to weigh these things, but the Sorsby thing feels like it's going to be. I mean, we'll see how successful the legal challenge is, and if the legal challenge is unsuccessful, we will see if he's able to convince the NFL to have a supplemental draft and convince a team to bring him into the organization.
It's going to be really interesting. Let's get to our final break because we'll have time for a call or two when we come back. Stick with us as we wind things down here on the Wednesday Drive.
Don't buy the lie. This is Lee County District Attorney Jessica Venturi with tips to help keep your identity and finance.
On the board, a couple of runs in the fourth inning, and Arkansas now with a 5-2 lead as the Vols bat in the top of the fifth. Let's get to the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and I believe Grant is up first. Hey, Grant.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, do we know who's pitching tonight for Auburn?
Yeah,
and
Jake,
LSU?
Yeah, Jake Marciano is the starter. We suspect LSU is going to go with Evans, one of the studs from last year on their way to the College World Series. They held him out last night. I think LSU's got their top two arms ready to go tonight because they have to win to stay alive for any postseason shot.
Also, projecting forward, how many SEC teams do you think will get invited to the regionals?
You know, really interesting that I was just reading the Baseball America projection earlier today, and they think Kentucky is out, which would move. I think that would mean five SEC teams not in the tournament.
Yeah, that'd drop it to 11 SEC teams, and unless LSU runs through and wins the conference tournament.
Kentucky was sort of on the bubble going into their last weekend of SEC play, did not have a good weekend, and then did not play well.
And then they lost to Vandy.
And then lost to Vanderbilt. So I think that a lot of folks thought it was maybe going to be 12 and maybe down to 11 SEC teams in regional play. Probably eight of those, maybe seven of those hosting.
Well, I think probably eight or top 16 seeds would be hosting, and maybe four or five top eight national seeds.
I also saw that during today's golf regionals that 12 SEC teams will be invited to Carlsbad.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy, isn't it? I mean, that's sort of the standard, it looks like, for the SEC in just about any sport. That 12,
I know,
it looks like 11 or 12 SEC teams in just about every sport make the postseason, make the championship tournament.
Appreciate you guys. War Eagle.
Good hearing from you, Grant. 334-321-1390. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing just across the board in all sports how dominant the Southeastern Conference is.
Yeah, and so make sure you can you're tuned to Wings 94.3 tonight.
Yeah, 7:45, regardless of when first pitch. Well, I wonder, you know, when we were talking with Andy yesterday, he said he wasn't sure because it says 45 minutes after the completion of the prior game. Now, this ball game is an hour and 20 minutes in, and they are in the top of the fifth. So they're on pace for a three-hour game, which would put the game ending at 7:30, which would mean 8 o'clock would be fine. What if it ends early? Is there a possibility of it starting early? I can't imagine. It's hard to believe. There's never been, to my knowledge, I can't ever recall a scheduled last game of the day of the SEC tournament starting on time, much less early.
Tune into Wings 94.3, and you'll either get classic hits.
That's right.
Or you'll get
Brad. You'll get Andy and Brad.
Baseball coverage. ESPN 106.7 will have game two of the Spurs and the Thunder tonight.
Ah.
And is that an interesting series now with the Spurs going in and winning game one and Wemby looking...
Oh, just being unworldly as he is.
How about maybe the best basketball player on the planet? Like right now, like starting now.
Yeah, I don't know what other planet's got a better one.
And he's 20. I mean, it's like it's reminiscent of 20 years ago. LeBron James had a series against Detroit, and it was like, all right, well, from now on, especially in the Eastern Conference, like for the next 15 years, if you want to be the Eastern Conference champion, it's going to run through his team. I feel like if you're a fan of a Western Conference team right now, like the next,
I think you're right.
15 years. You got to
wherever he is,
and it starts and must win for the Thunder, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
You better win tonight or this. I mean, we don't have a series. Like if it's, I mean, 2-0 Spurs going back to San Antonio feels like it's, you know, it'll feel kind of over. So, I mean, for a Thunder team that won the championship last year, 60 plus wins, entered the playoffs as the favorite. Their backs are against the wall early in this series tonight.
So that's on right here on ESPN 106.7. And as Dan said, 7:45 airtime for Auburn baseball tonight in Hoover. That will be the final game. Auburn and LSU. The winner advances. Loser, if it's LSU, their season is done.
Wow.
If it's Auburn, they'll just come back and wait until Monday to find out where they are in the NCAA regionals. All right, fun show today. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell, who was with us in hour number one. Adam Cole here in hour number two. Tomorrow, Thursday, that's usually a Ferg day.
Should have Ferguson in the house, I think.
Sounds good. We'll get his thoughts now that the dust is all settled, basketball-wise and much more. So join us tomorrow. We're out of time here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. I hope you'll join us tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.